Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Dream, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Funny shows.
No show.
Jesus Christ.
Craig, what's your how, is it easy to see the screen? Are you able to see us?
I can see you. Yeah. Pretty small.
What I do find is you guys all have like warm hues. It's the lighting, right? Because I've got this big light here. And
it's
I look
blue.
Very washed out. So, yeah, it's almost blue, isn't it? It is. I need to get a filter
blue.
For it. I've got a filter. That's better, is it? Is that better?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's off. That's pretty white.
Turn the lights off.
You guys on? Off.
That's what Tony says.
Off. On. Off. 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 Off.
Off. Don't mean to add a couple of fucks before you say off again? No. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
Off.
Fuck.
Off.
Fuck.
Off. Off. It's fun.
Yeah, I think it's your light. You just need to get a warm tone on it.
Yeah, I need a filter for that light. Yeah, okay. I had a box of these. Anyway, that's not really interesting, is it? Anyway, I'll go without the light right now.
We're recording, just JC pressed it, yeah.
Welcome to Footy Prime. It's a podcast we do almost daily. JC is here and Wong is here. Craig, Dubs is here. No Jimmy because Nottingham Forest fired their coach and hired someone else, so why would Jimmy be here? true to form. I'm not sure what we're doing today. I'm not prepared. We're going to, I think, leave it to have a good scourge around Wonga's sack. I think that's the plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's a few things we wanted to the sack has triggered some research. And part of that research was delivered by our friend Richard Scott, former director of communications at Cannes Soccer. And so thanks, Richard, for sending out some info. One of the things I wanted
to... It's like the opposite of a dick move, right?
Yeah, opposite of a dick move. So Sharms doesn't know what's going on.
The anti-dick.
Can't relate.
Sharms like, what's that?
He did clarify a couple things. One was that when they chose players of the year, they did do it retroactively and they filled people in. And secondly... Amy came fifth 1 year. I forget what year it was, but you came fifth as player of the year.
Woo-hoo.
Well, I'm just saying, that's pretty good, Amy. Congratulations. Fifth place.
That is good, Dubs.
Fifth place?
Yeah.
I would prefer it not even get mentioned. You didn't win.
Well, that's the problem with you.
How many girls play soccer in this country?
Yeah.
Even back in those days?
Like 12.
Hundreds of thousands.
12 and we were all on the national team.
Right. You showed up, you made the starting 11.
Of thousands, and you were voted the fifth best player. That's pretty impressive. Really?
I think we're really grasping.
Yeah,
we're not.
We are.
Yeah, I think so.
But what it also did is Richard sent me a link and we're going to listen to this link. Mm. So I'm pulling it up right now. And I am going to press play.
Can you do a play-by-play for those
that I can't. Away.
Do we know what game we're watching?
Honduras.
Here's a through ball. An opportunity Canada. Now for Honduras. Forrest is out.
Oh, no.
Forrest hauled him down.
He's given a penalty kick. And
it was the red card Craig got during the World Cup qualifying versus Honduras.
Oh, no.
And he looks broken. Really look at him.
Trouble because
he didn't realize they changed the rules the week before.
Come on.
Forrest didn't realize they changed the rules.
But take that shirt off, Craig. I want to see that thing flung.
Look at him.
That is a great shirt.
It's a great shirt.
By committing a foul.
Would I, is the correct word to use here? Craig looks incredulous.
Craig Forrest, yep.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Leaves his hand.
Did you touch the ball, Craig?
Referee right no.
All right. No.
Could you have, or did you just want to take him down?
No, I wanted to take
him down and face the penalty, but they changed the rule, and now he's now red carded, which is...
Oh, my God, who's number eight?
Who is number... You know what I love?
Craig Forrest.
Craig Forrest, they misspell his name. Forrest. It was amazing. Forrest.
They remembered the two R's, but...
Wow. It's Craig's Canadian. Canadian career in fucking Gallup microcosm.
Tony Wayne's got a new nickname. 54-year-old who Forrest. Got Canada to the World Cup in 1986.
Oh my God, the tracksuit. Oh my God, I saw Richie. Oh,
here we go. Here we go. The shirt's off. What are you wearing underneath?
Oh my God, look at that crop top, Forrest. What is that?
Carlo Marini.
Oh, okay. It's somebody a regular shirt. It's a
normal shirt.
A replay.
Another look.
Well, the whole thing started because Carlos Ortiz, the far sideline, did not give offside on the through ball.
Some good football there.
Clever play by Bennett to take it past Forrest.
Who was that? Craig letting his man through.
Brought him down, and the rule states he has to go.
Look how angry he is. Look at his afro. Oh,
they missed the shirt because I haven't got my shirt wrapped around the referee's head.
How angry were you?
Colin Miller,
this is where I cut it because that's the last shot as he's walking away.
Can we post that on Twitter?
We're going to.
Bennett was a good yard off.
So thank you. That's what Richard Scott sent over. Honduras goes on to score. Canada does not make the World Cup qualifier.
Who comes in to goal there? Is that Doley?
Two. Yeah, exactly. Who comes in for?
Who was number two?
Down by Craig Forrest.
No, I'm not sure who it was. Was that
Cossie's headscarf?
I don't know
who the goalie was.
Trying to get the game back underway, but it's taken some time.
Slips my mind.
Hey, Craig, come off the bench because the keeper was sent off and then the first thing you're doing is saving a spot kick or trying to save a spot kick? Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah, that's once. Tough. Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, once, I guess there's no pressure, though, right? Because, I mean, no one expects you to save it. I mean, what are the odds? Did you save it?
No. Yeah, exactly. We were playing against Leeds, and I think we ended up with three players sent off. We were well short. I think we were 3 or 4 nil down maybe at the time. And Shaka got sent off, and that was the first thing I faced. And I remember asking the referee, I was like, is that ball on the top of the 6-yard box? Because it seems so fucking close. Because it was the first thing I saw. I was like, I've been sitting on the bench in the plucked up chicken position for like an hour. And all of a sudden you're facing a penalty. It was like, not ideal.
Mm.
Brutal. Brutal.
Well, it leads us to our first Wongers mail sack question from our friend Chris Rorick, 19 on Twitter. Did Craig ever receive a red card in the Prem? And if you didn't, what was the closest you got to it?
Yeah. I got sent up at least once, really early too. It was only a couple minutes into the game. Ball cleared off a corner. And I'm going to say Adrian Littlejohn, striker for Sheffield United. Fast as fuck, clearly faster than I was because he got to the ball before and I just cleaned him out, like really cleaned him out. And I do remember I was in the shower and Frank Gallup was injured at the time, my buddy. And next thing he comes into the dressing room and he's like, what's going on? I went, I just got sent off. He's like, what do you mean you just got sent off? Because I just arrived at the game. I go, yeah, I know, I've been sent off. And then halftime, Alan Hansen was doing the halftime, and he was so adamant that it wasn't a red card. And in modern-day football, there's no doubt, there's no question it's a a red card. I didn't even thought at the time it probably was as well.
That's amazing. The game's changed so much, right? That video, I think I shared it with you guys last week with the, it's from the late 70s in the first division, which was obviously the Prem back then. And it's the player shoving the referee, got a yellow card or something, or a free kick. And he just starts shoving the referee like three times. And the referee just walks away. Nothing happens. Doesn't get a talking to, doesn't get a card. Imagine that nowadays. You'd be banned for 10 games.
Oh, yeah. You almost murder players before you'd be sent off. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Punching, exactly. Not a problem. Take a punch. Just come on, lads, stop it. You know, one of those.
Well, you remember, you even used to be able to go through players from behind, right? And that changed the game when they put that rule in, that you weren't allowed, like a forward or a striker receiving the ball to feet back to goal. All of a sudden, you know, you were able to get a little bit more link up play because they weren't going to get cleaned out from behind from the defender.
That's right. They would even come through the back of players and they'd be, I got the ball.
Yeah. That ended careers, right? When people, that rule was changed, some people who had built a career from doing that type of thing. It was around about 2011, wasn't it, Amy? That rule came in?
I think it was a little bit earlier than that.
But, oh, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Just a thought. What's the names, right? Our names, there's a reason why you're called a certain name, right? It comes from Little John. Where would that have come from? Do you think originally? Why would?
Well, it's Robin Hood.
That's also what they call in an airplane. If you have to go to the bathroom,
the Little John,
and that's because way back in the Middle Ages, their airplanes had much smaller bathrooms.
Oh,
yeah. So it comes from they called it Little John. Like, there goes Sir Lancelot to the Little John.
Mm-hmm. So family of pilots, maybe.
Yes,
and or stewards.
Yes. Those planes and, back in the 1200s.
But they were seen as witches because they were too smart. They were witches and...
Burn her!
That's right. Exactly.
With but her, you could smoke in their broomsticks. You're allowed to.
Or diminutive pimps, right? No?
Diminutive pimps, yeah. What a great word diminutive is. I love that word.
It's a good word.
Nary a time with Dubs do we use the word diminutive. We've got to start using it more. All right, that's great. I love that. That's really fun, rolling those old videos in. Anything else, Richard, that you have of our wonderful, esteemed pod members that can... listen, if they're doing well, that's nice. But ideally, if something bad's happening to them or embarrassing, please, that'd be brilliant.
Did you feel like you let the whole team down and the country down, Craig?
I hope so.
Overall?
Yeah, thanks, Wonger. Yeah.
You took a long time getting off the field, Craig.
I think that was 20 minutes into the first ever Bowl Cup.
Oh, so you got banned for the next game?
Oh, I got banned for a whole bunch of games.
Oh, yeah, because it was a straight red plus. You threw your shirt. So was that the tournament done for you?
Oh, yeah.
Craig Forrest, you know, former player of the year, Gold Cup hero, Premier League footballer, let his country down badly.
Amy, how would you have spoken to Craig once he threw the shirt?
Being on the pitch with him?
Yeah.
Well, I think at that point I would have been just as incensed because to hear Craig explain it, I probably wouldn't have been aware of the rule change as well.
You would not have been an ally. There's no way you would have been an ally. You would have.
I would have. I would have come to his defense probably and yelling at the ref saying, "How can we? What do you mean he gets sent off? He's allowed to take him down." But yeah, maybe the shirt toss would have been a little bit much.
I love the initial reaction when they saw the red card.
Yes.
And he kind of like half bends to his knees, hands on his knees, and it's like, what the mean? What do you mean I got red carded? There's a new rule? There's a new rule in the sport that I play professionally that I don't know about?
Good rule, though.
Man. So everyone knows, too, Craig is on his iPhone right now, and it's actually doing better than the computer that he had. So...
If Apple wants to, you know, throw a little
sponsorship.
Sponsorship.
And also a little wireless mic that he can use in his phone.
Mm, yeah. Smart idea.
Yeah. To be fair, though, too, if anyone gets a chance to see that clip again, you're the last guy that guy gets by before you have to take him down and pull him down in a box. He has a chance to get red carded there and he misses. So I think that your vitriol and your frustration should have been also directed at him. I don't know who it was.
Who was it? Craig, number 14.
I don't recall.
We'll put it up on social charms, and Craig can comment on it and call people out on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be great. Start hammering your teammates, Craig.
Yeah.
Like on the string, put it on there. Then on the comments, just start hammering individually different responses. Like, fucking hell, Yallop, what the hell were you doing? Or
be so funny. You and your short shorts.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Craig gets redemption on his teammates from an incident that happened 29 years ago or 31 years ago. I can't do the math in my head right now. I'm really hungover.
Right.
Hey, Forrest, did Yallop get substituted with the national team the same way he did in the Prem?
Yeah, pretty much.
He couldn't even catch a break playing for Canada.
Yeah, no. Yallop. Fucking Yallop.
You know, we've got to find it. We should find this archive of all these. Who owns those?
Well, I'm just cutting them, so I'm going to put them up.
I know. No, I was wondering. We should find out this, when we get the website up. I mean, I'm assuming usually the rights holder to the national team, which in this case would be One Soccer, would have the rights to the archive.
Oh, yeah, but, except I think the broadcaster, and once it hits YouTube and hasn't been touched, it becomes public domain if no one causes an issue. So do I have a sense that we would get away with it? The answer is yes.
And my point being that we get more of this stuff and we launch the website and we can do some narration over it. Like Craig can talk us through these plays and Dubs can
love
talk
that.
Through play. Yeah, pretty brilliant. Again, well, great idea. We won't do. But yeah, no, actually, we will do this. We will do this.
Yeah, we will. And not only that, Craig brought a shirt, a box full of shirts, jersey kits that Charm said, why don't we get Craig to do an unboxing of all of his kits? And we do like three a day and video it.
Wasn't my
and
idea.
Him talk, tell us what they are.
It's a great idea. I love that. But I think it may have been JC's idea, wasn't it?
Well, it could have been JC's idea.
I'll take credit for it, but I don't think it was my idea.
I'll take the credit, but it wasn't me.
I referred to my childbirthing experiences that way, my unboxing.
So gross.
Save that for the broadcast, Doug.
Yeah. Oh, come on. No
kidding. She says we're gross. She's grosser than we are. There's like an echo down there.
Oh, hey.
Like a hot dog down a hallway.
He bounces back. Come on. But I suggested for today's pod that we should devote like the entirety of it to doing all the things that we said we were going to do over the past year. And then Sharms and I were like, can you remember anything? And I was like, no, fucking you. And he's like, no. And it's like, okay, pivot, something else.
But you know who can? Remember? Forrest. Every member of our supporters club.
Yes.
Yeah. So let us know things that we said we'd do, we haven't done.
Hey, the website will be a good first step and they can remind us because we actually are giving them a page. We're giving them a place to Congress. So it will be quite the website launch will be exciting for us. There'll be a lot more opportunities for everyone to get involved.
Now, is this also one of the things that we say we're going to do and then, but just kidding, we're not actually going to do it.
No website.
Possibly.
It costs us $4,000.
I know. No, we'll do some kind of podcast, some kind of a website launch.
Yes.
Like launch party or something here.
Great idea. Right.
And we do want to do actually in-person parties and like kind of things in the next little while as well. Lots
Speaking
of ideas.
Of, last night, you had a footy.
I did.
The footy show.
Yes, a little show that Christmas I was on many years ago in the score where it all kind of began. And we had a little reunion. Brennan Dunlop, of course, who you all know very well here, Footy Prime, Christian Jack, and brilliant producers, Thomas Dobby, Dom Gentili, Will Farquharson, my mate Faraz Sawat, the best, most esteemed cricket journalist in all of North America, was there as well. It was actually tons of fun in the end, actually.
What bar were you at?
Nostalgia. Scotland Yard downtown.
Oh, right on the Esplanade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good to regale some old stories and old memories. We hadn't been together for a while, so that was good.
Plus, it's good for you and the metro, right? Like, you can take the GO train.
Jump off the train within 10 minutes and back on the train. It's perfect, you know, rather than saying, let's meet at Wonga's house in the middle of freaking Toronto, which you cannot get to easily.
That is not true.
It is. It's a terrible place to get to.
Okay.
It's like 10 minutes from a stop.
The airport. Yeah.
20 minutes.
Public. Really?
Yeah, by the time I got, you saw my
walk more briskly than you.
I walk fast. I walk ridiculously fast. And by the time I got to Among Us, you saw me, I was sweating like a whore in church.
You had the flu. You gave everyone the flu.
I did.
But did he get on? You hopped on the right train? Going back
I did home? It last night. I was sitting on the train and I was texting with Craig and JC. And I actually, at that point, I wasn't sure whether I was on the right train. And you're always waiting. It's dark outside, so you can't see the landscape. You have no idea where you are. And you wait for that first station to be announced. Arriving now at 10, I'm like, oh, fuck, please, please, please say Danforth. Please say Danforth. And next station, Danforth. Oh, Christ for that.
Have you ever woken up like in Kitchener, Waterloo?
No, but I've got my good mate, Scott. He does it. He used to do it frequently. He'd get on the train or the subway and he'd do the loop a few times without realizing.
Oh, the subway. Yes.
Yeah, subway. He did the train once as well, though, and got out to, like, I think Burlington, whereas he lives in Pickering.
Oh, jeez. Two and a half hours.
He's a disaster, this guy.
It does a loop. It's not just a line with, like, a terminal.
The subway, around? Yeah, well, it's not a loop per se, but it goes up and then comes down again, the U, depending on what line. It's a terrible subway system.
Because I've done that tons in the Montreal Metro.
Passed out?
Like, you're meant to be. No. Oh. Like, when I was learning, say, like a teenager and hopping on and thinking I was going there the right way. And then Barrie UQAM is like the big kind of hub where you get off and then you get on like the respective line that you have to go to, but with the terminus going, you know, either east or west or north or south, and then realizing way too late that I'd gotten on going the wrong direction.
Do you ever do this when you're walking and you're going somewhere and you realize you're going the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. I don't just stop and turn around. I kind of come to a slow moseying stop, look at my watch, look around a little bit, you know, look in the window of a store, then kind of slowly turn around and start walking as if I'm meant to be doing this.
But it's because so you're English. Worried about the people so, around you are going to realize that you're lost.
Yesterday. I did that yesterday at the Dufferin Mall. I came out the wrong way and went towards the food court instead of towards my car. And I did one of these. Look at the watch. Yeah. I don't even own a watch.
Who cares?
Then I scratch my arm to pretend that I'm looking at there's a reason I'm looking at my arm and watch, which I don't have. And then I turned back around and went, oh, God, I'm an idiot. I'm faking it for no one who knows.
No one's realized. No one has.
No, but if we're on camera, right?
Guys.
If we were on camera, we would look smooth.
Real smooth. Oh, this is the guy that knows where he's going.
Yes.
Do you guys also, like, if you catch your toe on the curb, like, turn it into, like, a jump shot or something?
Oh, yeah.
Pretend like you're doing something? Like, oh, that wasn't a misstep. I'm actually practicing my 1v1 skills.
Well, it's either that, you do that, or you stare back at the step and compute. Yeah. Like, the fuck?
How dare you, come step?
Well, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my MS kicking in.
Oh,
we're come going on. Low today. Like Michelle Obama always says, when they go low, we go lower.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's why she's
married so long to Barack.
Yeah.
But it's true. Yeah, it's pathetic, isn't it? Human nature is pathetic.
Amy, we were talking about tackles and cards. Chris Rourke also asked, did you ever hurt anyone and remember hurting them? And felt bad about it or not?
Every podcast.
Was there any tackle that you, like, broke a bone, an ankle, or anything like that?
I mean, I'm sure I hurt, like, you know, left cleats on somebody, left marks. But no, never really bad where the person had to be, like, carted off. But, like, clash of heads, definitely, where the other person came out worse for wear, where, you know, they had blood coming down their face. I only got stitches once.
How many where?
Just three in the back of my head. Got stitched.
Oh, in the back.
Came back out. Yeah. I was trying to flick the ball. So the play with my, it was coming a goal kick from my own net from my keeper, and I was trying to knot it on, and the player came through it with her forehead and caught me in the back of the head. Yeah. But yeah, that was the only time I got stitches. I got stitched up, came back and played. But yeah, I definitely cut other people. But it was usually like a clash of heads. Good hard noggin.
Craig, did you ever smash someone out? Like, I know you said you took that guy out for your red. Did he get hurt?
No.
Oh, has anyone been hurt by your menacing?
No, I don't recall actually hurting anybody.
I tried to hurt a couple guys, but didn't work.
So, Craig, when you're coming for a corner or a cross of some sort, and you just want to clear that ball out and clear out the guy, do you raise your knees into the ribs? What was your technique to kind of leave a little bit on him? That was the way, right?
Well, you got to remember, I mean, back when I started as a teenager in the 80s, it was basically rugby without hands. Like, it was the worst football you could possibly imagine. Everything was in the mixer. Everybody had a 7-foot striker, and fuck me, it was just shit. It was absolutely shit. Shit football and hard to play in. But I got a couple marks. I got a couple marks. I got a mark on my shin from Peter Beardsley, who is a legend.
Yeah,
it was just above my shin guard, and he.
Can you show it to us? That's amazing. You got a freaking Peter Beardsley has left something on you. I want to tell the story. Okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah. So he came in anyway. It was like his stud. He had six studs on, and one of the studs just poked right down to the bone in my shin guard, just above my shin guard, just above it, right down to the bone. But I was like, oh, it's Peter Beardsley. The guy's a freaking legend. I watched him play at the Vancouver Whitecaps.
That's great. That's really cool. Lucky it wasn't. I won't say it, actually. That's cruel. I won't say it.
Don't say it.
I wasn't going to say it, Craig. You know what I'm going to say.
Those were the worst, though, because I have scars down both my shins that from studs going through shin guards. And I think there was actually something through comical from, I think, a Prem game last weekend or the one before where the referee hands the player the shin guard, and it's like 2 inches by 3 inches, like it's teeny tiny. Like the shin guards that I played with were massive in comparison, but sometimes they weren't even enough to protect you. Yeah. So you got raked down the shin, and it's a different kind of pain. And then you get sort of desensitized to it or numbed to it. Like I even know, like now, like you know, that cut off, like you bang your shin into like the side of the bed or something like that, or it's, at night and you can't see where you're going, like, sure, it fucking hurts. But like at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, it's all right. And then you got like a big lump the next day. I'm like, oh, I did bang myself pretty good there. But you don't really notice it because you've had so many studs up and down your shin. But yeah, definitely marks left.
So when you bang yourself, Dubs, is what you're saying. When you bang yourself, you often don't realize until after the fact.
That's right. It's very satisfying though, Sean.
You wake up with some shame or something. Is that here? Figure it out.
Nope,
when
no
she
shame.
Bangs herself, yeah. She wakes up with shame. I'll answer that for her.
Walker doesn't have no any shame.
None. I have no shame. Fuck shame.
I was going to say something, though, about that. There was a game against France that we played where one of our players got taken out, and obviously there's no VAR. I think at that point, even like the lines person was on the other side of the field, and I absolutely hammered a girl, and she almost went into her own dugout. Just to get her back. But I mean, yeah, you wouldn't get away with it. You wouldn't get away with it now because of VAR or the cameras or, you know, the fourth official. Like, I don't even know. It was right by the dugouts as well, but no one did anything.
Richard, Scott, if you have evidence of this challenge, please, please pick it up.
Please don't, Richard.
There was a really good question and it was timely too. And it was said in a bit of a sarcastic manner, so it's perfect. Fort McMurray, it's at @FC_Fort. How do you have time to answer questions when you'll have 3 shows worth of material because of the MLS dropping the U.S. Open? And I wanted to hear what you guys thought of that, because it seems like everyone is saying this is... I know we talked about it a little bit last show, but that this is a huge deal for the U.S. Open and for development. Which way do you lean? Amy, I'll let you go first.
I think there might be a slight argument for development, but I think it just means that if you're looking at the USSF and you're looking at the growth of football and soccer and in the U.S., it just means that they care more about making money than they do really about the growth of the game. I think that's what it means. And it's being protective of their own assets, perhaps protective of more players like Messi coming over, and then keeping him in bigger stadiums. But I think you're getting rid of a chance to really build something meaningful. and build upon history that you've created and history that is sorely lacking really in the North American game, not just in the US. And then you're just abandoning it. So I think it's a big mistake.
I agree. It's the longest club competition in the United States. It's been going on forever. And the MLS are flexing their muscles for sure about this whole situation. It's the truest thing that they have in the States to a competition, a football, true footballing competition, where it's amateurs as well as semi-professionals and professionals. And this is kind of what we go to the old FA Cup, the FA Cup, and how that works in the UK. It's a special competition. They should be embracing it, not abandoning it or using it as a so-called development program. It should be up to the clubs that decide to do this, not MLS deciding that they're going to do it as a development program. Listen, the MLS is a league without competition, without consequences for losing. From a pure competition standpoint, the U.S. Open was brilliant competition. And for lower clubs, it was an amazing day. We went through this with Sacramento and Danny Diccio last season when they beat the Galaxy, KC, San Jose, ended up losing to Orlando. Those are big moments for the clubs. And they bring in massive attendances. They get supported really well. And it's a chance for giant killing. And MLS is basically said, no, listen, we don't want that. And the competition has been very, very fierce and tight. And there's been some big upsets. And if they don't want to take it seriously, well, that's their prerogative. But it's a competition that's bigger than the so-called League's Cup that the MLS played against Mexico with that shower of shit that Messi won. And most fans in Miami don't even know what that was. They were like, well, we just won it, didn't we? No, that was the League's Mickey Mouse Cup. That's bigger than the actual U.S. Open.
We just won the championship. won the championship, the MLS Cup. No, you just won a tournament, an in-season tournament.
Yeah, all the Miami fans were like, well, what's Columbus just won then?
And then you got the Supporters' Shield. You know, I've heard it a few times recently, TFC people talking about winning the treble, the only team in history to win the treble. And the treble in that regard is the was it Supporters' Shield?
League MLS Championship, Cup. Right.
Yeah, and the domestic Canadian Championship, right?
Yeah.
Which is a treble, I get that. But to me, a real treble would be winning the CONCACAF Champions League, winning MLS Cup, winning the domestic cup. Don't you think? I mean, I get it. And listen, we live in Toronto and we know the fan base is fervent. And yeah, have that treble, that's great. But to me, it's a bit of a Mickey Mouse treble. Doesn't really count. Sorry. That will really upset people.
Well, the bragging, there's only three cities that can really have an opportunity for it. So, or only two, right?
Well,
no, Montreal.
Well, it's more now. Well, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like, no. CPL teams are in the Champs League.
No,
now, right?
But they're not in the Super. So they can't get the Supporters' Shield because that's the MLS
correct.
Championship.
Correct.
Right.
Unless you count the CPL and winning that, because they give out two trophies now, right?
Right.
So they could win a treble. But a treble should be the Confederation, the domestic, and the league that you're playing in, right? To me. Please back me up here, someone, because otherwise I'll be hammered for dismissing a treble.
Could you imagine the MLS teams in Canada deciding, saying, oh, you know what, we're going to use this Canadian Championship as a development?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then all the CPL teams are like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100%.
It'd be bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I think the MLS teams pulling out of the U.S. Open Cup prompted some responses. I think I saw Mark Noonan put something out. I mean, as commissioner of CPL, I don't know if I saw any MLS teams, but yeah, I don't think that would be good. But going back to that move, I think what it does is it shines the light on how broken the system is, the development system. And not
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule.
it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Not just in the U.S., but perhaps here as well. And the NWSL, they don't have to put in any academies, like it, in terms of the pipeline, you know, so it was a chance perhaps for those guys playing for Sacramento, playing for Danny when he was there, for exposure to these bigger clubs. And instead, they're removing themselves from it and remaining sort of elitist, or like, we're up here and you guys are down there and we're not going to participate in your tiny competition.
Well, even more when exclusive.
Whereas it should be more of an inclusive approach.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the pay-to-play model. It's exclusionary. You know, there's so many talented youngsters, both boys and girls, who'd never get a chance to play in the upper echelons of the sport or at the highest heights of the sport because they've been pushed out because they can't afford it. Mm. And to me, this is just another example of it.
You know what? Those are great answers. Sharms, do you have anything else to add other than the treble?
Well, you talk about inclusivity and you're right, but that's the North American sports model, isn't it?
It is.
Exclusive.
It is.
It's guaranteed stability, financial worth, no promotion, no relegation. That it comes down to that, right? And MLS and North American soccer is so torn. They don't know what they want, really. Kind of caught between both ways. I mean, there's always talk about...
What they definitely don't want to do is lose money.
Right.
They're protecting their assets, but it makes for poor competition. And from sporting reasons, it's absolutely pathetic. The league is pathetic. There should be relegation. There should be these USL teams coming up and getting the opportunity to be promoted into that league. But they're never going to do that at $350 million a franchise. And they say franchise. This is the difference in North America. They are franchises. You know, you can't say that about European teams. Arsenal is never leaving. Spurs are never leaving. West Ham's never leaving. They're not going anywhere. They're not franchises. But in North America, it's like buying a fucking McDonald's. You can move them at any time.
You've got it, Forrest. That's exactly what it is. It, as it pertains to fandom, you're not a supporter. You're seen as a consumer. So there's a way that that's framed both from the fans' perspective, but also from an ownership's perspective, from the franchise, from the club. And that affects how the sport grows. It absolutely does.
You guys are talking so romantically about football because everyone's a consumer. Everybody is.
But yeah, and even in Premier League level, there's always criticism about that. Fans now, because they have this fan groups over there, right, who have supporters' trusts, et cetera, who have a lot of power, a lot of say compared to over here where there's none of that kind of stuff. And they constantly complain about being treated as consumers, no longer as fans. Now, the lower down the pyramid you go, you get that real fandom, the soul of the game. But at the top levels, it's getting closer to North America as opposed to North America getting closer to it, I think. Because people realize there's cost sustainability in North American models. Premier League clubs would love to have no promotion relegation, wouldn't they, Craig? They'd love it. But it would never happen, obviously.
That would be the Super League.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Super League.
Let's hold that.
Please, God, no. And there are exceptions to the rule, like our own Chris Corrigan. Like he... I think is it TSS Rovers?
Yeah.
So it's a supporter-owned club, right? So, I mean, that is a different approach. Perhaps we need more of that in North American football. But yeah, I think, Sharms, you make a good point. It's not to say that European football is immune to all of these ideas, you know, the capitalist approach and wanting the rich to be richer. Like, I mean, that is an issue right now, obviously, in the Prem with the absolutely exorbitant amounts of money that are being spent, right? It's not one or the other. But no. Right now, I think the argument and with the light being shine on this decision, light being shined? That sounds wrong.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sean.
Sounds wrong.
Sheen.
Shining the light on the current situation. We'll change tenses. I think that's, you know, it just makes it a more, relevant discussion, I think. And it's an issue, obviously, in North American sports, but it also exists elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good time there to mention our sponsors. FootballTV.com and TonyBet.ca. We love you and we welcome many, many more sponsors to the board because we are very much fucking And our listeners, by the way, we're charging you $10 a month in the new year to listen to us.
That's right, for the and the podcast and for the website.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
to click on it
because you're consumers. It's going to be the new Three Prime Consumers Group, not the Supporters Club.
That's right.
That's a joke, by the way. We're not going to charge anyone.
No, we're at the moment. Idiots. We would never do that because we don't care.
Never say never.
Really? Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't say never.
I mean, our OnlyFans content will obviously have to pay for.
Yes, we have to charge for that. There was a MLS Super Draft yesterday.
And here.
Well, we're just going here for a reason.
Breaking down the top 10.
Where is Lipscomb University or college? Lipscomb College.
Is it
Lipscomb? What's it called?
Is it Women's Health University?
Where Spicer was came out of.
Oh my God. Oh, that was TFC's pick? That's where he came from?
Yeah, TFC's pick.
Okay.
First pick overall.
Mm-hmm. Which John Tavares announced, by the way. Did you guys see
really?
That? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
John Tavares announced it.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Is that the crossover we were all hoping for?
Fucking hell, Mr. Charisma himself. I think the group's really proud of this pick. I think it'll be a massive success. The group needs another striker. That's my John Tavares impression.
Okay. Best guess of where Lipscomb University is.
Ohio.
Nope. Dubs. Ugh. Where, Craig?
Michigan.
Nope.
Florida.
Missouri.
Oh, Craig and his... you only get one guess, dude. JC, where's your closest?
Belgium.
Nashville, Tennessee is where Spicer is from.
Okay.
So just everybody... First,
wait, but it's really called Lipscomb?
Yeah, it's a private Christian
university. Lipscomb. Sounds Lipscomb. Like after a hard day on the corner.
Look, you know how I pronounce words... Say that again.
That's great.
Taking us back to Little John.
After a hard day in the corner. Got some Lipscomb, that's for sure.
Jesus Christ. There was our MLS coverage right there. Those two questions.
The Joss kind of ridiculous.
Herpes, Tennessee.
Nashville. Amy. Amy, this is from our friend Dave Starkey. Nice to hear from you. What makes Jesse Fleming a great player? He wants to know what is it that kind of makes her stand out and player of the year in Canada.
Starkers knows the answer to this, by the way.
I know. He just wants.
There's no bigger Jesse Fleming fan than Starkers.
He says mainly because she is my favorite footballer, mainly because she plays for Chelsea and Canada. But yeah, what is
he
it?
Just wants some time spent talking about Jesse Fleming.
That's right.
Be honest, Starkers. We understand what you're trying to do here. You want to segment on Jesse Fleming? Just say it.
And we're going to give it to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course
you're,
we are.
You're going to give it to him.
Start going to.
I alluded to it a bit last week when we talked about the player of the year. And Sharms had voted for Jesse Fleming. And I agree. I think we gave a shout out to Vanessa Gill as well. But she's so consistent. You always know what you're going to get with Jesse Fleming. And I think it was Miriam Kohlrabi who has the handle She Scores Bangers. She's a great follow on Twitter. And Miriam dug out this clip of Jesse as a teenager, I believe. You know, she was 12 or 13. And she was, like her parents and her brothers, a tremendous cross-country runner. So she's got amazing lungs and a great aerobic capacity and a great engine in the middle of the park. So it's her consistency in her play because she's got a great ability to drive the play, to progress the play, work in tight spaces. So she's obviously technically gifted. But beneath all that, it's her ability over the course of 90 minutes to replicate all of those things that I just mentioned. So from minute one, what you're getting with Jesse Fleming is what you're getting from Jesse Fleming at minute 93. And whether that's with Chelsea or whether that's with Canada. So I mean, she's a really important part, a key cog with this national team, as they kind of adapt and evolve after Sinclair. I think she was the person that the team should have been built around, I think, for that World Cup. And I think Bev chose to go and sort of double down on Sink. And I think the injury to Jesse caused her to maybe pivot last minute, even though there's probably a plan, as Rian alluded to in one of the broadcasts. You have a long-term plan before you come into these major competitions. but it's her ability to link up, her ability to progress the play, to find those seams for herself, but also for her teammates. She has an insane ability to create space on the pitch and to play the right ball.
Cool. But how about some real in-depth analysis?
Go ahead, Rudolph.
I concur.
Very good.
Stalkers, does that satisfy you? I think so.
He better be satisfied. He's going to go to Lipscomb University now. we've got three more that we're going to ask because they're fun ones. So the first one is from our buddy Jeff Nesker. What's your preferred nickname and what is your least preferred?
Well, we have a new one for Craig, don't we, starting today? Foretz.
Foretz.
No, I'm serious. We're going with this. Foretz.
He just randomly shouts and swears. Oh, no, that's Tourette's.
That's Craig Foretz with Tourette's, right? It's Foretz. Yeah. Did you ever have a nickname, by the way, that you didn't like? Because, like, most people like their nicknames, no?
Little John. I hate that one.
Yeah, I can't remember any bad nicknames.
No, well, you've gone through what? We call you Craiger, but all the guys on the national team and all those, like, and your kind of colleagues and teammates, and they all called you Stacks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that again? Why Stacks?
Well, when I was 16 at Ipswich and I came in as a trialist, they introduced me to the squad. So pretty tight in the dressing rooms at Ipswich. So you had the reserve dressing room, the youth dressing room, and then you also had the first team. So they pulled me into the first team dressing room and I was just shitting myself. They're like, oh, we're going to introduce you to the first team squad. I was like, oh, okay. And just a bundle of shit, just nerves. So they parade me in there. I have the ducks coming through the door and one of the players, I think it might have been named Trevor Putney, was his name.
We know Putney.
Yeah, fucking Putney. His eyes are too close together.
We know Putney. He's a big part of this podcast. We know about him.
Putney. So he said, oh, this fucking lad's got stack shoes on, like the old platforms, you know, like it's from the 70s. Oh. So it stuck right away because the manager, Bobby Ferguson, is like, ooh, 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 stack shoes. Hey, stacks. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And stuck, and that was it. So Stacks was always my nickname. And I carried that for my whole career over there.
That's awesome. The very idea that a guy who's 6'5 would be heightening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird though, right? Because, I mean, Wonga, you've known Craig a long time, but I never call him Stacks. You never call him Stacks.
Never.
It's kind of, it feels like I wasn't part of that.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed almost.
It's not mine. Yeah, I can't have any ownership over that nickname at all.
Yeah,
I agree. So I just call Craig Craig. He's one of the few people I actually use their regular names for.
Yeah, Craig. Our group of friends always either just call him Craiger or Forrest. Yeah. Like, it's nothing.
Well, thank God.
Hey, where's Forrest? Is Forrest coming? That's always the question. Hey,
now it's Forrest. Now, so thank God for that. Yes.
Charms, I've never, ever called you James, though.
No, you haven't. I know. No. I know. And a funny, Shams came from this podcast, actually. No one called me Shams before.
Really?
You think they would, right? Yeah, it's an obvious one.
Well, wow. James is such a private school name, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I insist that I'm called that, you know, professionally.
Well, his first name is actually Andrew,
fuck off.
Right? He shows up on my phone sometimes as Andrew James Sharman.
Yeah, it's my full name.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Andy. That's it. Talk about private school. Look at him.
Oh, well, Andrew James, it's so fucking Catholic. That's the reason.
That would have been Scottish your and Catholic. Just you would have dropped Charmin and you would have been Andrew James.
Andrew James, yes. Yes, I'm introducing Andrew James.
Well, Dubs, what did your teammates call you on the national team and your teammates professionally?
Yeah, I was going to say Lipscomb. Yeah.
Our new favorite university. What did they call you?
I didn't really have a nickname. My sisters were Walshy. I was that sometimes, but not really. Ames? AIM or Ames. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like Ames.
But Dubs is amazing. That's a good
Dubs is so made up. And actually, my sisters gave me some stick for it. They're like, why the fuck are they calling you Dubs? That is not your nickname. I was like, I know.
We've got to find the episode. And again, website stuff. When we find these little vignettes from podcast past, when we gave Dubs the nickname.
Well, we actually did it on text. I remember we were messing around with text. Yeah, me, you, and Amy. And I think I threw out, like, she needs a nickname or something. And it was Dubs or A-Dubs.
So made up. I do not remember this at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm not making it up. I think it then continued into, then Amy brought it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was you, Sharms. It was an episode talking about CF Montreal. Mm-hmm. Or maybe talking about Alistair Johnston going over to Celtic and you called him AJ. And I'm like, I don't think anybody calls him AJ.
Apart from everyone.
And you referred to Kai Kamara as KK. And I'm like, no, that's not his nickname.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Dubs. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because Dubs just came from the W in Welsh, right? That's George W. Bush dub. And it came kind of, that's how it was born.
Mission accomplished.
And JC, did you have any nicknames other than JC, which I've been calling you since I met you?
Susan?
People called you Susie?
Yeah.
Lipscomb.
Here comes Susie Lipscomb.
Our friend Kerry Ryan asks us, what's your favorite Christmas tree ornament? So there's a couple. First of all, you need a tree. So if you have a tree, what's your favorite Christmas ornament? And we'll start with our friend in the middle, Sharms, who we know has a favorite.
Yes, my Freddie Mercury, my Christmas rock star at the top of the tree.
Christmas rock star.
Yeah.
That's the I just thought it was Freddie Mercury, but now that you're putting it, there's a reason.
Why it's there. Is it an ornament?
Is it an ornament or is it something you just put on the top?
It's just something I put on the top. In fact, I mentioned my mate Faraz earlier today.
Yeah.
And he actually gave me that for Christmas many, many, many years ago now. And straight away, it dawns a shelf in my house. It's a pride of place, is Fred. But then every Christmas, he goes up there. And people are waiting for it on social media, the picture. It's funny. People say, Christmas doesn't begin till we see Freddy atop the tree. It's nice. That's my favorite ornament.
That's nice. Dubs, do you have a favorite ornament that always makes your tree?
Yeah, it's not the one that goes on top. But it's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the classic cartoon Christmas show. And it's the
stop motion. Bumble. The stop motion, the Canadian voices one. It's all done in Canadian, Canada, too.
Yeah, the island of it's one of my favorites, along with the classic Grinch. Those, I think, are my two
classic Grinch favorites. Is fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, it is. But it's a little cave with the abominable, not the snowman, but like the Yeti. I think
it's the abominable snowman. Yeah,
okay. He's called Bumble. I think they call him Bumble. Yeah. And then the little elf is like, he wasn't angry. He just did sore teeth. And so it's a picture, and it's him in the little snow cave, and it's an ornament. And then you press the bottom, and it kind of lights up, and he's like, it's my favorite.
I love that. That's great.
How many years has it been the dawning of tree?
Yeah,
many years? Probably since JP and I have been in the house. So since 2005.
Mm-hmm. See, the only thing that makes me sad is that Rudolph was treated really horribly, right?
He was.
Like, what kind of evil villain is Santa Claus to have set a society up like that?
The weather's shit. Get ready, Rudolph. Like,
the toy island. You're like shunned to an island.
Misfit toys, right?
It's horrible.
Yeah, but he had a fucking red nose, freak.
And then Then they used him for his nose.
Yeah.
Like literally
his friend's Clarice, and that's always a little bit off-putting to me.
Clarice.
That's his girlfriend.
Clarice, yeah. Really? Do you think they play games like role-playing stuff? Like, you're Hannibal Lecter tonight, Clarice. Okay.
Rudolph comes in on like the board. He's like strapped to it with like the face mask.
Exactly. Nose poking out.
Rhonda Brownlee. We need a Rudolph with the mask from Silence of the Lambs.
Being wheeled out on the gurney, like
it's me, Clarice Lipscomb.
I'm going to eat your face off.
I was in Turkey with some fava beans.
Craiger, did you have one or do you have one? Did you put a tree up in your apartment?
Yeah, and I've just got two old man balls hanging from it. Actually, just one ball.
Is it just one? Now we know where it is. All this time, we're searching for Craig's missing ball. It's hanging from his Christmas tree.
It's where it is. It's like a dried up prune. It's smaller, like a raisin.
Yeah, raisin by this point. Just hanging there.
Somebody posted one of our supporters. I can't remember who it was, posted something online about somebody, some guy died after having his balls gold-plated.
I tried to look that up.
I'll have to go to plan B then, because that didn't work.
Do you think that's like, you know, the people you wear like the grill, or they put like embellishments on their teeth, you know, like diamonds or like a gold tooth? I'm thinking about
your balls.
Home Alone with a gold tooth. But like, is it the same thing, but for your balls?
That's what it said. I don't know.
I think why he died. Why did he die?
Like, we're not sure if it's real.
It can't be real.
No, it could have been just like a, you know, a headline on breaking news, and then just man. Well, Lipscomb's coming back to the table again.
Golden balls.
JC, I'm sure you have one.
I do.
Favorite ornament.
Well, it's not necessarily really an ornament. It kind of is. It's a little figurine of a man and a boy, and it's titled "To Daddy." And I put it up there just in case my dad shows up this Christmas.
Even as a grown man, you still do it.
I didn't know where you were going with that, because we used to joke about NAMLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association. And that's where I thought you were going with it.
Not that dark.
No. What?
NAMBLA was this association
that was trying to
regulate, basically legalize pedophilia. And it was out of...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, and like, it had a spokesperson and all this kind of stuff.
I thought it was this. Is it a real thing?
It was at one point. I think they're all in jail now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jason, maybe this year's the year, though. That
fingers crossed.
Yeah. How do you like envision Dad to look? I mean, if he's not Santa.
I think I'll keep him as Santa.
Yeah, that's nice, actually. Yeah, I like to prefer that. Yeah,
Craig or I could be your dad. We're in that age.
You couldn't, Wunger, for obvious reasons.
No, Craig could.
But Craig could actually be us.
Yeah.
I could. What about you, Wunger? Than Craig.
Oh, you know what? Some reason, my mother. And this isn't, but my mother, when I was like 7 years old, gave me a cello as an ornament. And I'm not sure, it was like, you know, the 70s and all that stuff was all very organic. So I guess it was a handmade cello, and it was about this big. So a 6-inch cello, kind of girthy. and it's been on my tree ever since. And then there's my kids give me ones that they made when they were like 8 or 10, and they keep showing up. Oh, they're horrible. Yeah. It's like that construction paper that they get at the dollar store that falls apart every year. There's a little less of it away. Every year.
For fuck's sake. Will she notice if I throw it out this year?
Of course she will.
Dad, just for Dubs, for her benefit, Dubs, cello is what he's talking about. Cello.
Thank you, Cincy. Yeah.
So that's to my mom too. It was nice to see that. My daughter actually said, where is the cello? And I went, oh yeah, because it was in a different place. So anyways.
That's nice though, because that's a memory of mom, right?
Yeah, first year without mom, first year. So it's kind of going to be I'm going to Ottawa on Thursday, just so everyone knows if they see me lurking at a bowling alley in Ottawa to throw a snowball at me. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And our last question, because it's 9:03, Christina at Diva at C Tina, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? For real, the people want to know. That's our last question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? We're going to let JC go first.
Sorry, what movie? I think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I also think Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It all depends on when you watch it. If you watch it not during Christmas, it's not a Christmas movie. If you watch it at Christmas, anything can be a Christmas movie on Christmas. It's like watching Deborah Does Dallas.
Yeah, I saw it.
Which, when you say it that way, could absolutely be a Christmas. I mean, you can watch it, just have some jingle bells. Oh, Mr. Greenfield, and just jingle on
Greenfield.
Yeah, anything could be a Christmas movie with bells.
It was Mr. Greenfield.
It was. Ryan Hunter's dad's hidden porn. We found it when we were in like grade six. And we're like, really? What's all that down there? Anyway.
Then we the 70s? Was that the 70s?
Yes. Yes,
it was, right. So. Right.
So that's my opinion.
Craiger, Die Hard, Christmas or not?
I love Die Hard.
Would you watch it? Does it need to be watched around Christmas? And I think we've got to figure out what makes a movie about Christmas. I think that's
right. What does make a Christmas movie? I think It's a Wonderful Life is a brilliant Christmas movie. But Die Hard is a little bit different. But like when you watch it, but it kind of fits everybody's bill. It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie, and it just seems to come off.
I think my point for it being a football a Christmas movie is that almost nothing of the plot could have happened. You can't say, oh, John McClane's coming back to the Nakatomi building for a party in the middle of the year, or like it's about him trying to pull together the family for the holidays to make it work. Right. And that for me is what makes it, if it wasn't Christmas, the plot point would have changed completely. The his best buddy, the guy who ended up being in Urkel Show. What was that guy? You know, the cop.
Right, the cop Carl that he's Winslow. Talking to.
Yeah,
yeah, Al.
Al. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. He wouldn't have been eating donuts, coming back, being at alone for Christmas. You know, was that the whole plot was around Christmas, and that's what makes it a Christmas movie for me. Because it couldn't have happened without that.
Are you reading way too much into an action movie?
No, Charms, I want your answer. Then go the other way.
No, I agree. I think it is a Christmas movie. Simply because, I mean, my family refused to acknowledge it being a Christmas movie and won't watch it with me. But that's fine by me. So it's one of those, they go to bed and I pour myself a dram and I watch Die Hard and I feel really Christmassy.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it's a Christmas movie too. I think you're... sort of justification for it, Wonger, is bang on. There has to be like an element of Christmas, even if it's just fleeting and the story is completely, you know, not really reliant on that, but it has to be happening at Christmas. Same for me, why Harry Potter movies are Christmas movies. Because there's always a Christmas kind of, they're celebrating Christmas. It's over the course of the year, whatever book you're reading or movie that you're watching. There's always a Christmas element to it. But we always watch Harry Potter movies around Christmas time. I think really the common thread is it has to star Alan Rickman.
Yes, exactly.
Professor Snape. Yes.
There, Alan Rickman equals Christmas movie.
Yeah. Enjoy them while you can because there won't be many more made. He died, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing, though.
Just Bruce amazing. Willis has a horrible disease, so there won't be any more of those.
Dementia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. I think, because as a kid, we used to watch Sound of Music, which I just deplored back then, but it's a great movie now. It's
incredible. I love it.
Now that's not a Christmas movie.
No, I know, but it was always played in England at Christmas every year. So it became Christmas.
It still is.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Remember that? Again, not a Christmas movie.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
It was played at Christmas. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Julie Andrews is in that too, isn't she? As well?
I don't think so.
Maybe not. Or even though the children catch her, scared the shit out of me. Yeah, well, that's another one. It was always played at Christmas time. But is it a Christmas movie? Who gives a fuck?
No, it's true.
Yeah,
Christina gave a fuck, and we answered it a fuck. She gave a fuck.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Thanks, Christina. Great question.
Yeah.
Let me sign us off, Charms.
Yes, Freddie Prime Boy.
Wow.
Okay, I can do more than that if you want. I can...
Dubs can do it. Dubs can say it.
Cheers for listening.
Okay, how about we'll be back on Friday for the... So Friday will be the end of kind of the end of the live, per se,
Pods, I think right? I think we should do one in between so we don't all go crazy.
Okay. Okay. So how about this? So Friday we'll pick our favorite moments of this past year in football. Yeah. Not like moments. Don't say, the Women's World Cup was great. Pick a moment from the Women's World Cup. Right. Right? So moments. And we want our listeners also to submit those as well. And then next week we'll do one and it'll be looking ahead, like big takes, grand takes on 2024. What to expect, hot takes. Yeah, how about that?
I love that.
And then we're doing it. And JC, how is the cut going, by the way, for the this quiz?
Oh, he hasn't even received it yet because I just pulled it out of the can yesterday. Okay, it's so maybe on my computer.
There should be some content at some point from that, we think. And are we gonna sing the 12 days?
Amy wants us to sing.
Yes,
we've got to figure out how to do it. It was more about I was asking JC how technologically we would do it.
Oh no, we're gonna do it, and we're all gonna do it. We're all gonna do a day of Christmas, and whether it be by Friday, it probably won't be by Friday, but it will be over the Christmas season. You will get a gift of the 12 Days of Christmas done by the Footy Prime Supporters Club.
But next August,
there will be some special guests. Some of our familiar guests from the past will be adding their favorite
amazing
like 12 broken noses, like things like that, like but not that.
Oh, okay. Yes. So Mike Tyson could be making it.
Well, okay. Maybe Mike might maybe be there. Maybe a classic Nigelson might do it. Just for Craig.
Hey, please, Wonger, Nigel, you forgot to mention your friend David Amber. Had a comment on the Wonger's mail sack post.
What? Let me see what it is. I forgot about Amber's. What a
little
dink.
Shout out to Chris Rourke as well. He was in a car accident. He's okay.
Yeah, he's okay. I hope you're okay, Chris. He said he made it sound like he was in his post.
I was going to mention it earlier today, but I know by mentioning the term rear ender, Wonger wouldn't have contained himself.
Well, actually, look who laughed first.
Yeah, well, it was going to be one of you two.
Old lips.
I texted him. He said he's doing okay, but he feels as though he'd been hit by a truck, which he was.
So David Amber, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, are all of our past employer, or three of ours. My question is, what would it take for Dan Wong Says to stop high-fiving people all the time? And I think the only answer is death.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Well, when I was dead, manage it, did it?
Death or complete physical breakdown. I'm going to high five till I'm dead. Thank you, Amy.
Love it. Don't stop high fiving.
Don't stop high fiving.
Bye, Brian. Bye.
That pinky.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bennett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Great show, guys.
Here we go. That was good.
Was it?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.